We're just going to talk about something that I've been trying to conceptualize through the Word of God. At the beginning of this year, I was kind of hearing these words, signal and noise, and I had thought I heard that from somewhere, which actually, not as though he was the originator of it, but Steve Jobs used this concept of the signal and the noise to communicate and teach on leadership as he grew the company Apple. And I would keep hearing these words, signal and noise. And so I embarked on a journey at the beginning of this year to see how does that translate to the Christian life, and more specifically, how does that translate in my everyday life? And so I've just been kind of sitting on it, letting God speak to me about it. And when that pastor asked me to preach, I was like, okay, I think I think I'm going to teach about that. And then some recent events that have happened in our world caused me to run back to this. And I think that this is a good message for a reset as we are in the second quarter of this year, meaning that we started this year and we've all had our goals and we've had our spiritual disciplines, our prayer and fasting. And I think that sometimes, and if we're being honest, sometimes we lack off on some of those things, or the cares of this life can often get to us and we may slack off. And, you know, we've got to ask God to forgive us, and we've got to get back up, and we've got to get back to the discipline of those things. But oftentimes we are distracted, and this message would be considered a message about distractions. But just get out your Bible, and then we'll turn through the scriptures, and we'll see how this translates to the everyday life of the believer. And this will be a Bible study, so I would appreciate it, and you will be blessed when you turn to these scriptures, because a lot of these scriptures we're going to use today, we have probably heard of, or at least probably heard quoted. But I want to expound on some of those things, not to take too much time. Praise God. So we'll start off with the definition of a signal. A signal is a gesture, action, or a sound that is used to convey information or instructions. So this is going to be something that is specific. It's going to be something that is directional. Now, the definition of noise, and this is Webster's definition, it is an unpleasant sound that could cause disturbances. That's the definition of noise. Now, ironically, being in the baby world, they try to send these promotions about sound machines, and one of those things is white noise. And so when I read this definition, I'm like, oh, I don't want white noise, because that's unpleasant, according to the Webster's Dictionary. But again, this is something that even business leaders use. People in the secular world use this concept, but I want to bring it to the scriptures and see what the scriptures say. And so one thing we want to figure out is, for us as the Christian, what is the source of the signal? And so we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Now, that's very easy for all of us. We can just close our Bible and turn to the beginning of the Bible, and that is where we get the source of the signal, because the source of the signal is God, okay? God is the source of the signals that he sends throughout to us. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, it says, the Spirit of God moved, okay? And then it says in verse 3, and God said. So in other words, we see God being the source, he moves, and then he speaks. And that's the source of the signal. Now, we know in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit. So remember, we just quoted that the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and we are reminded that God is a spirit. And then we go to John chapter 1, and remember the language that was just used in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. John is using the same language to connect this idea, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this is just John explaining that it was God in the beginning. And when you look up that that Greek word for word, it's logos, which that means the expression or the thought or the plan of God. But to be more specific, it's the total revelation of who God is. And so what are you trying to say? What I'm saying is the source of that signal, God himself sends forth signals, okay? Just God being God, he sends forth that signal. And we'll see how, because when God created the heaven and the earth through those 7 days, he instituted things and he created things, and those things now send a signal, and that was through the self-expression of himself. And I don't want to get too theologically deep tonight, but that's just simply what it was. God himself was just simply expressing himself, and when he did that, he created the heavens and the earth, and that sent forth a signal. And we'll see how that is, and let's go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a often quoted scripture. In fact, you'll probably find it on a nice painting in like Hobby Lobby or something, and somebody will post a picture, and that's more than likely of a sunset, and that's more than likely the scripture they're going to use to post about the creation of God. But in Psalm 19, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech, night after night, to communicate knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the ends of the world." So what David is saying is that even though God technically isn't speaking, the thing that he created is sending out signals, okay? So that is why when we stand at the Grand Canyon, or when we wake up and we see that every sunrise and every sunset is not the same, or when we look up and see the contrast of the green leaves on the backdrop of a bright blue sky, and we are in awe, we realize that it wasn't just by happenstance that these things have happened, but God has instituted these things and created these things, and it puts an awe in our spirit. It causes us to wonder, and it causes us to praise God. Now, in Romans chapter 1, let's go to Romans chapter 1. This is very important because Paul is saying that creation that God has created, and I'm just laying foundation here, the creation that God has created, whether it be nature, animals, what he's instituted, the relationships he's put in place, marriage, fatherhood, motherhood, sonship, all those things is what God instituted. And these are testimonies of who he is. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. That scripture is for the person who says, well, I haven't seen God, or I haven't seen God work, or whatever excuse that a person may have of to not believe in God or not obey God. That creation testifies against us. Why? Because there's a signal being sent forth throughout the earth of who God is and the power of his glory. Amen? And so those signals are going forth. But there's another Greek word for word, and that is rhema. And that is an utterance of words. And to be more specific, this is somebody speaking a divine inspiration or utterance from the Logos, okay? So the Logos is the complete revelation of who God is. The Rhema is somebody speaking under divine inspiration or utterance from that Logos, okay? So what are you saying? What I'm doing right now, I'm speaking a Rhema. It's a collection of words coming from the Logos, okay? And why this is important is because anybody who says they've heard from God, but it's not in line with the Logos, that's not a word from God. Anybody who says that they are speaking things and it doesn't align with the total revelation and counsel of God, they are not hearing from God and they are not speaking on God's behalf, okay? Now, in Acts chapter 10, this is where we see the Rhema and the Logos being used as a signal. Because in Acts chapter 10, after Peter receives his vision and he goes to Cornelius to preach the gospel, in verse 44, it says, when Peter was speaking these words, that is the rhema, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message, or in the King James Version, it says word, heard on those all who heard the word, that is logos. So in other words, they received the complete revelation of God because Peter was speaking a rhema, or sending the signal from the complete revelation of God, if that makes sense, okay? And so this is all foundation, and it will make sense in about 5 minutes, I hope. And so there's a signal that's going forth both from creation, but there's also a signal going forth from people like us who will speak the word of God, who will live the word of God, who will testify of the word of God. And that's a signal, okay? It's a signal. It's directional. It's instructional. It's revealing who God is. It's revealing what God has designed, okay? Even just by our lifestyle, that's a signal. When somebody sees my wife and I, that's a signal, because that's a man and that's a woman, that's husband and wife with kids. That's a signal, okay? And God is testifying of that. It's also a signal when I just simply say, you all going to repent unless you believe the word of God. That's just simply a signal from the word of God, okay? Now, we've got the signal, so we know that the signal comes from God's word by his spirit, okay? So the word of God is delivered to us by his spirit. Now, the question is, where does the noise come from? And we can get into very specific about where the noise comes from, but it's, to summarize it, it comes from three places, and rather, one of those places is a person or a spiritual being, the first one being the devil. Okay, so the devil brings forth noise in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm. Can I just remind us, we are living in a spiritual world? Can I remind us that what you see physically has already been done and moved upon by the spiritual world? Can I tell you, we're living in a spiritual battle? We're fighting spiritual warfare. What you see is not the first thing that you get. The first happens in the spiritual realm. Anything that you've ever seen, whether it be politics, news, entertainment, whatever it is, all those things has already been moved in the spiritual realm first. And so we are fighting a spiritual battle. And in fact, the biggest lie that the devil has ever told is that he does not exist. But the devil does exist. And the scriptures say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that he's the prince of the power of the air. Okay? Meaning that he has, not just himself, but he has, some would say, minions or princes and principalities in certain places that are on his behalf, working against the kingdom of God, working against the church, working against what is righteous, what is right. And it's happening in the spiritual realm first. And what he does is that he creates noise in the spiritual realm. He creates wavelengths in the spiritual realm, and then it therefore manifests in the natural realm as a result of the spiritual realm. That noise is made because he's speaking, and he's captivating people, and he's taking people captive, and he's speaking lies, because the scripture says he's the father of lies. And so he's creating these noises in the spiritual realm. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. So one of the main noises he likes to make is accusations. So he'll try to make you feel bad. The devil is the type of person who will condemn you for not going to church and then condemn you for going to church. You say, you're such a hypocrite. You're so wicked. You should never go to church. And then when you show up, he'll be the same person who says, I don't know why you went. That's so dumb. He'll put the shame on you. And as the famous term of this generation, he'll gaslight you into these things. And he's very much the type to create the noise. And remember, it's a spiritual battle. So he's not fighting against your physical body. He's fighting against what you cannot see. And that is your spiritual self, your spiritual man. And he's creating those noise and those wavelengths against your spiritual man. I'm helping somebody tonight. You're fighting battles and you're fighting in the physical, but you're losing. Because you got to get back to prayer. You've got to get back to fasting. You've got to get back to the word. You've got to get back to worship. You've got to get back to praise. You've got to get back to fellowship. You've got to get back to sharing the testimony of the Lord. And he will very much do those things, and that creates noise. It's just noise. You can't hear from God. You're not reading the word because you're ashamed. And when you read the word, you're thinking about other stuff. That's noise. It's noise in the spiritual realm. Number two is the world. Okay, so the world is the Greek word is cosmos. That is the oppositional kingdom against the kingdom of God. Because there's two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of Satan. He's the prince of the power of the world. And there's the kingdom of God. And this world system is dominated and ruled by the devil and by his angels. And it is heavily influenced through, and he uses rather these things to influence his unrighteousness and his ungodliness. And he puts it in our politics. He puts it in our culture of our world, puts it in the entertainment, puts it in everything that is associated outside of the kingdom of God. He wants to influence it. And the world, okay, has noise. The world and the leaders in it and the people in it, it all is noise. It's all just noise. And I want to simplify this, that a lot of the things that we care a lot about is just simply noise. A lot of the things that we get worked up about is just simply noise. A lot of the things that we're so invested in is just simply noise. A lot of the things that we get worked up and even causes division, even causes friendships and families to break up, a lot of those things is just noise. It's just noise. It's just noise. And the world is very specific on using its noise to create that division. Now, I know we don't want to admit it, and we have our opinions, and we have the things that we were raised up to believe in regards to this world outside of the Word of God. And I know that we have our preferences, but can I tell you, even those things can be used just to be noise. Just to be noise. In 1 John chapter 2, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And I thank God for John's epistles and his gospel, because they call John the way that he writes in Greek, they just call it the simple gospel. Because everything he says and writes under that inspiration from God, it's just simple. It's to the point. We don't have to try to nitpick it. Of course, we could and dig it out, and we can get that treasure from Scripture. But on surface level, anybody can receive it. And he says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's just simple as that. If our love for the world is stronger, more invested, then we don't have that much investment and love for the Father. It's just simple as that. And we can usually tell our love by our time, our investment, our devotion, our passion. And if it's not measured up to that same measure for our love for God, we've got to reevaluate, because we're just invested in noise. Okay? And he continues on in verse 16. And this is how plain he gets. And you can sum it all down to this. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. That's it. He just makes it plain. Everything that we see, everything that's happening, it's all going to pass away. And it's all associated with those three things. And it's all just noise. It's all just noise. How much money a person makes, just noise. How great a person is and what they said, Just noise. It's just noise. What a person can do and how the person did it, and we can't believe that that person did that. It's just noise. All these things are noise. And we've got to learn how to walk with the signal above the noise, okay? Let me just remind us really quick. I heard this statistic, and this is just proof that the devil has the influence of the world, and all he's trying to do is just divide more and influence his ungodly agenda on the world. Did you know that over 50% on social media platforms and or any type of platform that has any type of media interaction or formats where you can connect with other people, 50% of those accounts are not real people. 50% of those accounts are commenting on posts and saying things and causing you to get worked up. They're just, that's literally the purpose, is for you to get worked up and, as some would say, triggered. And it's all it is for you to get worked up about the noise. That's all it's about. You go on somebody who says something wild, you scroll a little bit, see a comment, you can click on that profile, and it says, profile, member since February 2026. It's true. You scroll a little bit more, and it says, member since March 2026. Okay? Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that it's artificial. And it's just artificial noise. And it's just adding to the problem. Just noise. Okay? And we need to be careful. Parents, we need to be careful. Parents, we need to check our young people's phones. We need to be mindful. There are now apps. There are now apps that are meant and used to cause division in the home and cause division in the church and cause division against other people. We've got to be mindful. All this is AI generated, by the way. We've got to be mindful. And these companies don't care, by the way, because they're making money off of it. They're making money off of outrage, and they're making money off the noise, okay? We've got to be mindful of this, because we've got to walk with the signal. Number three is our flesh. Watching the time here. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And if we're being honest with ourselves, this will probably be the source from which we have the most noise, is our flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through, we can go to 17, 18. Paul says it plain as well. I say then, walk by the Spirit, you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But let me just read it with signal versus noise. I say then, walk by the signal, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the noise. For the noise desires what is against the signal, and the signal desires what is against the noise. These are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the signal, you are not under the noise. Okay? Our flesh, just a natural man, without any type of form of repentance, any prayer, worship, it will naturally do what is against the Spirit. That is why we have to live and lead a life of repentance every day. Every day. Okay? Every day when we wake up and when we go to bed, we've got to say, God, I can't do it without you, and I need you to crucify the lusts and the desires of my flesh. And only you know what your flesh desires. You know what your flesh wants that is in opposition to what God wants, and you've got to call it out, put it on the altar, and said, I'm not doing it in Jesus' name. Crucify this flesh, oh God. Forgive me for falling yesterday, but today's a new day. I'm following the signal of the Spirit. I'm following after the Word of God. It's the signal versus the noise. Our mind creates the noise. Our emotions create the noise. But at some point, as it was said earlier, at some point, you've got to rise up and just say, no, not today in Jesus' name. Today I'm living by the signal. Today I'm walking by the signal. Today I'm going to be led by the Spirit. We cannot be captives to our flesh. We cannot be captives to what we want to do. We will never be successful in our Christian life if we keep living by our emotions and keep living by what we want to do. You can't be successful living for God, doing that. At some point, you have got to say no to yourself. You've got to say no to yourself. Moving on. And as the church, and this is the practical part, as the church, we should be the signal in the midst of the noise, okay? Because this whole time I've been talking about the separation of it. There's signal, then there's noise. But Jesus exampled it because in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word or the signal was made flesh and dwelt among us, the noise. So the signal was dwelling among the noise. So Jesus, he said, I was up in heaven, separated from the noise. But then he said, no, I've got to go down there into the noise to save them from the noise. Praise God. And so that is the example that Jesus has given us. And we also see an example in John chapter 18. Let's go to John chapter 18 because we see that it is possible to have the signal and to live in the middle of the noise and still be separated from the noise. It is possible. Because a lot of people say there's too much overlap, or you're being too pacifist, or you're not being aggressive enough, or whatever they may say, whatever excuse they may say on you being too righteous or too holy or whatever. No, it's possible to have the signal and to be in the middle of the noise. Because when he was given over to Pilate, knowing that he's a king, and knowing, even feeling a little bit of conviction, I would say, he's basically, Pilate is asking him, if you're a king, you can take care of all this, by the way. You can make sure that they don't crucify you. But Jesus said in John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. And that ought to be a declaration for every single one of us, every person who says they're a Christian. We ought to say and continue to say, and in fact, it's got to get bolder and louder, my kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is not from this earth. I'm living for an eternal kingdom. I'm living for something that's going to outlast every president, every prime minister, every dictator. Every single kingdom will fall in this earth and bow to the kingdom that I serve. I've been born again into a different kingdom. My kingdom is not from this world. And Jesus exampled it because he was in the middle of all that and had every temptation to say, I can restore the kingdom of Israel. I can do whatever I want right now. But even he said, my kingdom is not from this world. He was in the middle of the noise of Roman persecution, in the middle of the noise of religious persecution, in the middle of the noise of religious gossip, in the middle of a noise of cultural standards that were not aligned with his teachings. But he still had a signal. He still had a signal and conquered far more land than any person has ever conquered without killing one person. Took down Rome without killing one person. Because he said, my kingdom's not from here. My kingdom's not from here. And we've got to carry the signal. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. I'm wrapping up. John 17, he was praying in the garden for us. And this is how we know it's possible. John 17, verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, as he's praying, I have given them your word. He's given us the signal. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I tell you, if the world isn't hating us, then we've got a problem. And as Pastor mentioned beautifully, being followers of the Lamb, as of the moment, Christianity is popular. It's trendy. In fact, there's people who can make money off of it. But I tell you what's not popular. Separation from the world. Holiness and righteousness is not popular. That's not going to run up the algorithms. That's not going to run up on our YouTube feed at the top saying separation from the world. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's not going to run it up. There's other messages that can run it up. And that's a part of this. But I tell you, that's not popular. It's not popular to say if you will repent and if you won't repent, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. That's not popular. But he says, we're not from this world. And he says in verse 15, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. In other words, just as Jesus did, we've got to carry the signal in the midst of the noise. We must discern what is the signal and what is the noise. We have got to get the spirit of discernment on our lives. We have got to get the spirit of discernment on our lives. We are living in the most deceptive age. The first thing that Jesus said, what's the first thing that Jesus said? He said, take heed that no man deceives you. We are living in the most deceptive age. And if we are not grounded in the word of God, if we're not grounded in the Logos, in the complete revelation of God, we are going to be deceived. But God has given a plan and God has sent forth a signal, and we can carry that signal in the midst of the noise. We just have to be content being separated from the noise. We have to be content saying, I'm okay not being a part of the noise. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. I feel boldness coming on me right now. I said, I don't care what the world has got to say. We've got to preach the word. We've got to teach the word. We've got to live this word. And we've got to be bold about it. And if the world hates us, Jesus already said it was going to happen. We've got to be careful that we do not contribute to the noise. That's the last thing this world needs, is a church that's only contributing to the noise. What this world needs is a church that's ready to say, you've got to repent. I love you. You're living a lifestyle that's opposite of the word, but you've got to repent. Let me show you everlasting life. If you maybe change some things, if you maybe took a chance for the Lord, God can change your life. That's what this world needs. It doesn't need another political church. It doesn't need another religious persecuting church. What it needs is a Holy Ghost filled church. It needs a church that is bold about the name of Jesus. It needs a church that says, I'm not going to be a closet Christian. It needs a church that says, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed about it. If the world hates you, just know it hated him first. It's the signal versus the noise. The signal versus the noise. You can stand tonight. Let me share a testimony. And in Jesus' name, I pray this person sees it. Because my wife and I, we went to the market. It was a lakeside market, not even 5 minutes from our house, over there by LA Fitness. Just going for a family day. Family time, just walking. Walked up to a food truck. And I began to order, and it was a Spanish food truck. We began to order, and my wife and I, we ordered, and that was it. Then the lady, she waved me down. She said, you speak Spanish? I was like, I speak a little Spanish. And she said, oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. Where are you from? I said, I'm from here. Says you, I mean, like, where are you from? Like, no, I'm from here. Because when they ask you that, they're asking what country you from. And I said, no, I'm from here, from the west side of Jacksonville. I'm from here. And she said, but you learn Spanish. I said, my wife is Mexican, and I'm learning Spanish. And, you know, we're we're pastors at our church, and we're leading a Spanish ministry. And she said, and she showed me her arm. She said, goosebumps. There's goosebumps. She said, I was just telling my family. When she saw me and her walk up, saw my wife and I walk up, she said, There's something different about them. You know what? This is what she said. She said, you know what I think? I think they're pastors or something. They might be pastors or something. She was trying to tell that to her husband. And she said, Goose, I was just telling them that. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And she said, what church? And I told her the church information and began to talk with her. She said, you know, we do this food truck. We can't make it on Sunday. I was like, hey, that's okay. We'll come have coffee at your house and we can talk about the Lord. We can talk about the Lord. And she said, when I saw you, I just saw something different. Can I tell you, there's power in separation. There's power when you're walking with God. And it's not just for me, it's for you. You can walk into a supermarket, you can walk into your school, you can walk on a job site, you can walk wherever, and somebody's going to say, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. And you've got to be ready to say, it's the Lord Jesus. It's the signal that I'm following. It's something that's not from this world. She didn't see just another person. She didn't see just another family. Just another family caught up in the noise. No, she saw some family that was following the signal. We've got to follow the signal these days. And let me just say, as you look at this graphic, the noise is a compilation of everything compounding together. It's a compilation of the politics. It's a compilation of entertainment. It's a compilation of our culture. It's a compilation of our unrighteousness. It's a compilation of all these things coming together, screaming and grabbing for attention. But the signal, it's clear. The signal, it's so clear and direct. That's the word of God. It's clear. It's direct. And if you need a word, if you need a signal, you can go to the word and it's clear. It's direct. And it will give us what we need for this world. Whew. Let's lift our hands for a moment. I don't really know how to end it. You can come to the altar if you want. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. But let's just pray for a moment. Come on, we got to follow after the signal. We've got to repent for the noise that we've had. Come on, we invite too much noise. It's time to clear out some things in our lives so that we can hear the signal. It's time to clear out the things in our spirit that is just noise, and we've got to follow after the signal. We need to seek after the things that pertain to righteousness and godliness. Come on, we need to clear out our household that all it is just noise, and we've got to get back to the signal. We've got to get back to the word of God. We've got to get back to separation. We've got to get back to righteousness. We've got to get back to godliness one more time in our lives. It's a good time to reset. Maybe you haven't prayed in a long time. Maybe you've been struggling reading the word. Come on, now's a great time to get rid of the noise and say, God, I just want to hear the signal. Wherever you want to speak, speak to me, oh God. Wherever you want to lead me, oh God. Wherever you want to send me, oh God. Whatever you need me to repent of, let me repent, oh God. Ooh, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus.